Now the epistle for the feast of the kingship of our Lord Jesus Christ is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Colossians, the first chapter. Brethren, giving thanks to God the Father, who hath made us worthy to be partakers of the lot of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the remission of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For in him were all things created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominations or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and in him. And he is before all, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may hold the primacy. Because in him it hath well pleased the Father that all fullness should dwell, and through him to reconcile all things unto himself, making peace through the blood of his cross, both as to the things that are on earth and the things that are in heaven, in Jesus Christ our Lord. In the Holy Gospel, the second from the Gospel of St. John, the 18th chapter. At that time, Pilate said to Jesus, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or have others told it thee of me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief of priests have delivered thee up to thee. What hast thou done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would certainly strive that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from hence." Pilate therefore said to him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. For this was I born, and for this came I into the world, that I should give testimony to the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. My servants would certainly strive that I should not be delivered to the Jews. These words are taken from the Gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Probably the greatest Spanish monarch was Saint Fernando III, the King of Castile and León. Born in the year 1199, he was the mixture, the perfect mixture of a dedicated knight, dedicated entirely to God, and a ruler with the determination to use his power for the King of Kings. Personally leading his armies into battle, he took back more territory from Islam than any other king in history. His very first victory was at the fortress of Quesada. This fortress was set upon a high hill, surrounded by steep ridges, and had a commanding view of most of the entire region surrounding it. Fernando then moved swiftly, intending to surmount the walls of the city with a strategy that combines stealth, speed, and surprise. Secretly encamping with his entire army in a narrow ravine, his presence remained unknown to those in the fortress as he constructed ladders and made preparations for the assault. In a few short hours, a moonless night had fallen, and the army began to move. The wind sighed through the rugged terrain, covering the noise of the soldiers creeping toward the city walls. In fact, it seemed their movement did not even disturb the crickets. Fernando prayed out loud, Fernando prayed out loud, "Sing, little creatures of God, sing," as he spoke to the crickets. For the chirping of the crickets helped to cover the sound of their advance. and the alarm of the guards in the fortress might have been raised if the crickets were for some reason silenced at that time of the night. And it seems God answered the king's prayer, for the crickets weren't bothered by the soldiers making their advance, but became even louder as the men moved like shadows among the rocky path. Soon the Castilians came to the boulders at the foot of the fortress. The night was so dark that the king had difficulty making out even the faces of the men clustered around him. The soldiers circled about their king, carrying the ladders they would use to swarm up the walls. The ends of these ladders had been carefully covered with cloth to muffle any sound as they propped against the wall. When the first ladder was quietly put against the wall, Don Gonzalez Ruiz Giron boldly took hold of the first rung. He wanted to be the first one up. But Giron was thrust aside, and someone moved past him. Saint Fernando wanted to lead his men. King or not, Fernando would not let any of his men face a greater danger than he himself was willing to face. And the courageous king wanted to show them generous bravery. When the king reached the top of the wall, on top of the ladder, a moment later, he paused to look about, slowly peeking over the wall of the fortress. A Moor rushed toward him, brandishing a large scimitar. Sword in hand, the other still gripping on the ladder, Fernando scrambled up the last rungs to meet the attack. Fernando parried the blow, and without hesitating, he countered with another stroke that staggered the Moor, who tumbled over the wall to the feet of Giron outside the fortress. Giron then raced up the ladder and leapt onto the wall behind his king. Fernando was now engaged against multiple Moors, and already the air was filled with cries of alarm and confusion. Together, the king and Giron deflected furious strokes and advanced so swiftly that their enemies soon lay at their feet or at the bottom of the ladder outside the fortress. "Santiago and Castile," the king shouted exultantly as he charged. By this time, all the Castilian noblemen had gained the wall, followed by many of the knights as well. "Santiago and Castile," echoed the Christian knights, plunging after their king, who seemed heedless to any danger. The unexpected attack of the invaders caught most of the Moors asleep, but they awoke to find that Quesada had become a frightful madhouse of rushing men with flaming torches, bringing the night to life in the glow of flames. They were desperately determined to hold on to the towers because they knew that all was lost if the gates were breached and opened to the rest of the Castilian army. Fernando sped alone through a darkened archway to enter the closest tower, the one that was connected to the gate. And guards had flooded the room, drawing back in alarm as Fernando then rushed in. The king's shield was still slung over his back, for he had never had a moment to unsling it. Instead, Fernando's sword had become his shield, as he remained constantly on the attack going forward. He kept a wall at his back so that he wouldn't be surrounded by the numerous men against him. Hampered by their own numbers, the Moors ran into each other as they rushed into the room, and slashing wildly at their lone adversary. Once he felt the tip of his scimitar scrape against the steel breastplate he was wearing as he whirled to avoid their blows. Fernando was now gasping from exhaustion, and his vision blurred from the sweat that ran down his head. The evidence of being an expert swordsman, though, lay all around the feet of the king, and as yet he himself had not received one single wound. Though fighting with all the force and skill he possessed, Fernando was on the verge of being overwhelmed, just as the rest of his men finally came upon them. In a short time, Fernando's knights had completely overrun the Moors in the fortress. They opened the city gates, and reinforcements flowed into the fortress as well. Once all opposition had been crushed, King Fernando then sheathed his sword. Standing with his brother Alfonso and the Archbishop Rodrigo, he beheld in the city square the ceremony of the planting of the victorious cross of Christ with the glorious flag of Castile. The Knights of the Cross had conquered. One historian records the beautiful words after this, his first victory against the Moors. Fernando joined his hands and he prayed aloud, "Thou, my Lord God, who sees the hearts and the souls of men, thou knowest well that I seek thy glory and not my own. Thou art fully aware that I desire only the growth of the faith in thyself, my Lord God, and of the Catholic religion, rather than the conquest of perishable kingdoms." These words, my dear faithful, show the aim and the goal of King Saint Fernando III, which also shows the aim of the King of Kings, our Lord himself. When Pontius Pilate questioned our Lord concerning his kingship and his actions, our Lord answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would certainly strive that I should not be delivered up to the Jews or defeated. But now my kingdom is not from hence." Our Savior would go on to say clearly, "I am a king. And for this was I born, and for this did I come into the world." Thus, our Lord is the King of Kings. And he has a kingdom that is not of this world, but he came into this world for a conquest, the conquest of his kingdom. Now, even before this interrogation between Pontius Pilate and our Lord, mankind knew a bit about the King of Kings. From the Old Testament prophecies concerning the Messiah, we knew our Lord would be the greatest power to walk on this earth. One prophecy in the book of Jeremiah foretold that a king shall reign and shall be wise, and shall execute judgment and justice on the earth. Another prophecy in the book of Daniel says, "The God of heaven will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed, and his kingdom shall not be delivered up to another people. And one day it shall break into pieces and shall consume all other kingdoms, and itself shall stand forever." Thus, if we wish to serve Christ the King, we must fight in his glorious conquest and help to accomplish his goal. Our Lord indeed said that his kingdom is not of this world, and that if his servants, and that if it were, his servants wouldn't allow him to be defeated. Let us not let him be defeated then. Let us take up his banner and fight his fight. His everlasting kingdom is the eternal kingdom of heaven, and his conquest is our eternal salvation. He wants to conquer the hearts of men by grace and by drawing us to the most sacred heart of Jesus. Thus, even though our Lord's kingdom is not of this world, we, his subjects, certainly ought to strive, even in this world, that the Sacred Heart be victorious in his conquest. We know then what he wants. His greatest goal is the conquest of souls. So let us fight his battle and win our own souls, the souls of our loved ones, and as many souls as possible. In a certain sense, we have to wage war like King St. Fernando III. King Fernando encamped in a ravine. He built ladders and labored in the dark. Similarly, we have to secretly and discreetly take the war to a person's soul. We have to spiritually, as it were, sneak up on them and storm heaven with our prayers. Prayer is like an investment, putting in our time and our effort, bead after bead on our rosary, sacrifice after sacrifice in our home or at work. It is putting in our time and our effort and putting a seed of grace into another's heart. Second, Fernando was the first up the ladder. He was the first one into the stronghold, and he was the first one into the gate tower. Similarly, we have to lead by example. We must live a good Catholic life and show others the path to be a loyal subject of our Lord by keeping the commandments and by practicing heroic virtue. Finally, King Fernando, all the Castilian knights, and all of the Moors as well, everyone knew that the fortress would fall if the gates were opened to the army. Thus, we have to frequent the sacraments, which are the Sacred Heart's channels of grace, protection, and strength. These are designed as God's reinforcements for our souls and for all souls, especially confession and Holy Communion. By the reinforcement of confession, we go into the court of the King himself to make appeals for our failings. And with Holy Communion, we invite the King himself to dwell in our hearts. Let us then, my dear faithful, fight the war for the King of Kings. Let us spread his dominion by prayer. Let us be careful to keep his commandments and his orders. And let us never stray too far from the power of his sacraments. As Fernando the King was a devoted vassal of the King of Kings, so let us imitate Fernando to be courageous and zealous subjects of the Sacred Heart. As Fernando prayed after his victory, "Thou, my Lord God, who sees the hearts and souls of men, thou knowest well that I seek thy glory and not my own, rather than the conquest of perishable kingdoms." Let us then pray with the words of the consecration of the human race to the Most Sacred Heart, the words which we will soon pray before the Most Blessed Sacrament, the King of Kings himself. The words, "Make the earth resound from pole to pole with one cry, praise to the Divine Heart that wrought our salvation. To it be glory and honor forever. All glory and honor be to the King of Kings." God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.